Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm going to be speaking this morning from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, and I've entitled this morning's message, Prerequisites, True and False. Now the passage of Scripture I'm going to read is the passage that many use to teach that the Scriptures teaches infant baptism. And I would like to read this passage of Scripture to you, and I want you to notice the absence of any reference at all to infant baptism. That's not my subject. I just want to point this out. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, "And they brought young children to him." Now that young children can refer either to infants or young children, toddlers or 5 or 6 year old kids. "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them." This is not right. "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased." He was displeased over his disciples rebuking these mothers and fathers for bringing their children to the Lord Jesus. "He was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Now let me give the title of this message once again, Prerequisites, True and False. Now, when these parents brought their children to the Lord Jesus Christ for him to touch them, who can blame them? This is what I would want to do with my child. I would want to bring my child to Christ, and I would be so thankful if he would touch her. I would want to do this. And these parents brought their children to Christ, and his disciples rebuked them for it. They said, "This is wrong. You should not be doing this." They again demonstrated how stupid they could be, and it demonstrates how stupid you and I can be as well. The disciples were performing a severe blunder at this time in what they were doing. And then we read in verse 14, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased." He was angry at his disciples for this. You see, they were recirculating the old sin of trying to make a prerequisite before a sinner can come to Christ. They are children. They don't know enough. They haven't heard enough. They haven't understood enough. They haven't experienced enough. They need something else before they will be able to come to Christ. And the Lord was much displeased with this. He said, "Suffer the little children to come to me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Listen very carefully. Any prerequisite you think that you need to meet or you enforce on somebody else before they can come to Christ is wrong. Somebody says, well, you can't come to Christ until you first turn from your sin. You've got to turn from your sin first. Then you can come to Christ. Or you need to have a proper sense of sin before you come to Christ. Or you have to have proper conviction of sin before you can come to Christ. Or you have to have a deeper experience before you can come to Christ. Fill in the blank. You need to fill in the blank before you can come to Christ is dead wrong. That's putting some kind of prerequisite before someone can come to Christ. And all that is doing is teaching salvation by works. I have to check this box, fill in this blank before I can come to Christ. Now, such thinking is all wrong. The disciples were rebuking the parents because they didn't think their children have what's required to come to Christ. And you can't come to Christ until you feel your need. You can't come to Christ until you have a greater sense of sin. You can't come to Christ unless you show more sorrow. You can't come to Christ unless you're more sincere. You need to show you mean business by turning away from your sins if you're really going to come to Christ. To come to Christ, you need to blank first. That's pure garbage. That's all it is. It's salvation by works. It's putting a roadblock. And if you think, I can't come to Christ unless I'm more sorry. I can't come to Christ until I pray first, or if I quit feeling so sinful. Put anything between you and the Savior that you need to do before you can get to Him, you are making salvation by works. It's plain and simple. Now the Lord says, suffer the little children to come to me. Let me repeat that. Suffer the little children to come to me. Well, isn't there an age where they need to come? He said, suffer the little children to come to me. Forbid them not. Don't make a bunch of prerequisites, boxes they need to check before they can come. Suffer the little children to come to me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, coming to Christ, suffer the little children to come to me. Coming to Christ is the act of spiritual life. The Lord said to the Pharisees, you will not come to me that you might have life. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Coming to Christ is the act of spiritual life. Now, somebody's thinking, well, what does it mean to come to Christ? And that's a good question. And I hope you are wondering what that means, because I believe by the grace of God through the Scriptures, I can tell you exactly what it means. The Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 35, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Coming to Christ and believing on Christ are the precise same thing. When you believe on Christ, remember what the Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer when he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, I'm believing on Christ when I'm relying 100% upon Him to bring me to the Father. I'm not looking to my works. I'm not looking to my efforts. I'm not looking to my experience. I know the only way I can come into the Father's presence is if He brings me into the Father's presence. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When I believe on Christ, that means I'm trusting who He is and what He did as all that's needed to make me accepted before God. That's what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe on Christ, you're coming to Christ. Let me give you five reasons why I, this man talking to you, this sinner talking to you, let me give you five reasons why I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the first reason. The Lord said in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And he said in verse 37 of the same chapter, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Now, I come to Christ because I was given to him by the Father. And I come to Christ because I'm drawn to him, drawn invincibly and irresistibly. You know what happens when you're drawn to Christ? You find him irresistible. You must have him. You must be found in him. You must know him. You must be saved by him. Now, when I'm talking about why I come to Christ, I got to begin with God, not with myself, but God by his Spirit drawing me to the Son, because I was given to him in the covenant of election before the foundation of the world. That's why I come to Christ. But I come to Christ because I'm commanded to. When he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's not advice. That's a command, and my right to come to him is because he commands me to. Come unto me. Thirdly, I come to him because I have a great need of him. "I need thee, precious Jesus, for I am full of sin. My soul is dark and guilty. My heart is dead within. I need the cleansing fountain where I can always flee. The blood of Christ, most precious, the sinner's perfect plea. He healed them that had need of healing." That's me. I need him. And I come to Christ because I'm afraid not to. I'm flat afraid not to. And that's why I say, draw me, bring me to yourself. Cause me to come to you. I'm like Peter, bid me come to thee on the water. Command me to come. I want to come. I know I can't in and of myself. Command me to come. And I come to him because I really have no other options. There's no place else to go. You know, the Lord looked at his disciples after he'd watched the multitude leave him, and he said, "Will you also go away?" The door's open. Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? It's not like there are options. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now you suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Now, let's consider these little children for a moment. It could mean one of two things. It could mean infants, newborn babes, maybe 3 weeks old, month old. Or it could mean little children who could walk to the Lord, who could even converse with the Lord and respond to what he had to say. But it could mean either one of those words, but both are very instructive. Let's say he's talking about infants. Infants. People who are at this point incapable of believing, incapable of coming to Christ, incapable of having any experience. Infants. Now, there are scriptures, listen to me carefully, there are scriptures that imply, and note the word imply, that imply that infants, or at least some infants, maybe all infants, but at least some infants, are saved. Now, the example we have is King David, when he lost his son. He said, "He can't come back to me, but I'll go to him." And the implication is that when David died and went to heaven, he would be reunited with his son who had died. Now, the Bible does seem to imply that infants are saved. Now, let me say this. There's no definitive statement on it. There's no statement that says all infants dying in infancy go straight to heaven. They may, but the Lord does not make a definitive statement about this, and it always troubles me when I hear people say, "I know that all infants are saved." Well, you can't get that from the Bible. I hope they are, and there's implications, but you can't say, "I know infants are saved," because when you make dogmatic statements like that, it's like you're saying God would be wrong to not save them. Well, you and I don't have any business judging what God does. Whatever God does is right, whether you and I see it or not. And if it's wrong for all infants to not be saved, it's wrong for infants to die in the first place. Why do infants die? There's one reason. Sin. Sin. Even those that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, they still died. Why? Because of sin. The reason an infant dies is because he's a sinner. And if an infant does go to heaven, if an infant does enter heaven, it's not going to be because he's innocent. He's going to be saved the same way any other sinner saved. He'll enter heaven because God elected him before time began. He'll enter heaven because Christ died for his sin and put it away. He'll enter heaven because he was given a new heart. He was regenerated, made fit for heaven. He'll enter heaven believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how is that? I don't know. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Scripture says that. And somehow, I can't tell you how, but somehow that infant will be saved the same way you and I are saved. Of such is the kingdom of God. The only reason anybody enters the kingdom, if they're saved, they're saved like an infant would be saved, because he's elect, because Christ died for him, because God the Holy Spirit gave him life, and he was enabled by divine grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's of such infants is the kingdom of heaven. But let's talk about little children. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. Little children. What is it to receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child? It's to believe what you hear. It's that capacity a child has to believe. You tell a child something, and before it's had, or before he or she has had the experience to become cynical and to doubt and so on, you tell a child something, they believe it. I love the way the Lord said to Abraham, here's childlike faith. Abraham, see the stars, can you count them? So shall your seed be. And Abraham believed God. He didn't have any evidence. He didn't have any children yet. His wife was a very old woman. But because God said it, he believed it. That is childlike faith. We believe what God says. Now, to put false entrance requirements, false prerequisites, you need to do this in order to come to Christ. Oh, that's so terrible. You come to Christ as you are. Don't try to do something first. You come to Christ in your heart as you are and believe on him who came to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, I am the chief. Are you a sinner? Somebody says, yes, I am. Then Christ came to save you. And beloved, he did save you on Calvary's tree. You believe on him. Receive him just as a little child. Now, there are true prerequisites, though, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, these are God-given. But no man is going to enter the kingdom of heaven without these. As a matter of fact, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, except your righteousness, your personal righteousness, exceed, far surpass the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, they thought it was very good. It wasn't. It was filthy rags. But I think of the rich young ruler. He said, with regard to the commandments, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, he demonstrated how ignorant he was, but still he sincerely thought, I've never lied. I've never taken something that's not mine. I've never committed sexual sin. I've never coveted anything. He actually thought he had done that. Very few people reach that. The Apostle Paul thought that about himself. He said, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. Well, you're going to have a righteousness that's better than that. Your personal righteousness is going to have to be better than that. And that doesn't mean you're going to grit your teeth and close your eyes and try harder and try to become better. No, the only righteousness there is that God will accept is His own righteousness. And His own righteousness must be yours. Paul said in Romans 3:21, now the righteousness of God without the law, without my personal law keeping, is manifested by the law and the prophets. It's what the Old Testament scriptures have always taught. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Now, if I enter heaven, it's going to be because His righteousness is my personal righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, for you or I to enter into heaven, we're going to have to enter in through the straight gate and along the narrow road. Now, the Lord said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many go in that route, but straight, narrow is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Let me tell you how straight, how narrow, how constricted this gate is. If you have anything other than Christ, you can't get in. You can't get through this gate if you have anything that you're looking to other than Christ only. And it's the same as you walk along the road. If you have anything other than Christ only, you'll fall off the precipice. You won't persevere. It's only those who have Christ only that get through the gate. If you've got any works or experience or good deeds or efforts that you think help you into the gate, you can't get in. The only person who can get through that gate and walk along that way is the one who all they have is Christ Jesus. Now, you're familiar with this scripture perhaps, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. The Lord says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we not cast out demons? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now, these people thought they had all kinds of good works by their own profession. They thought that they preached in Christ's name. They thought they had great spiritual power. They cast out demons in Christ's name. But Christ said, I never knew you. You see, He knew they had never done the will of God. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. These people had never believed on Christ only. Oh, they had plenty of religion, but they had never believed on Christ only. That's God's will, is for you to look to Christ only as everything in your salvation. And then in Matthew chapter 25, verse 10, we have the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. All of them had lamps. They looked alike. All of them slumbered and slept. But when the bridegroom came and called them in, only the ones who had oil in their lamps and had light were admitted in. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The foolish virgins, who didn't look any different than the wise virgins, they both had lamps. They both slumbered and slept while they were waiting for the bridegroom. Both of them, that was not a good thing. They were both like that. But the difference between the wise and the foolish was the oil, something that you couldn't see. And the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is the oil of God's grace, the oil of God's Spirit, God giving them a new nature, which leads us to what the Lord said in John chapter 3, verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. For me to enter the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to have to be born of water. That's not talking about water baptism. We read of the washing of the water by the word in Ephesians chapter 5. That's talking about the gospel message. Water and of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, taking the word and creating eternal life in a man, a new nature, being born again, being born from above. And the Lord said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The only way I can enter in is by him. There is no other way. And then we read in Revelation 21, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. For me to enter into heaven, I'm going to have my name already written there in the Lamb's book of life. And that's a reference to election. The names of God's elect being in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. And when you enter into heaven, you're going to find out you had a place reserved with your name already written. Now, this is true of all God's people. Only the elect will enter in. Only those who elect will be saved. Somebody says, well, how can I know I'm elect? If you come to Christ, you are. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then we read in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, doing his commandments is believing on his Son. And believing on his Son, you are justified and you have a right to enter in. Now let me back that up with the scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 says, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now believing on his name means believing on his attributes. You believe on his power to save you, his sovereign will to save you, his justice to save you, his mercy to save you, his grace to save you, his wisdom to save you. That's what it is to believe on his name. You believe on who he is to save you. Jesus Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, and God's king, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right. The reason they have right is because they're righteous before God. Christ justified them to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, there are false prerequisites, but they're true, and they are all the gift of God's grace to all who come to Christ. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neibert praying God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.neibert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.